Now I have resurrection power.
Today's message, if you will turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21. When you get there, would you shout or praise Hosanna, hallelujah, something out in the room this morning. No one's participating. Hosanna, hallelujah, amen. Thank you, somebody. It's probably my husband. And so thank you for encouraging me. We're going to be looking at Matthew 21. We've been doing the scenes of Easter. Last week, Pastor Ted spoke on communion. And this week, we are speaking on Palm Sunday. Today is Palm Sunday. I don't know if you realize, but today is Palm Sunday, and so we encourage you to lift up a Hosanna. Whenever I was a kid, I grew up Catholic, and whenever I was about in second or third grade, I remember my family coming to know the Lord, and we grew up Presbyterian. And you probably have no idea what Presbyterian is. And so all I remember is every Palm Sunday, we would get a palm branch in our bulletin. And it was like the coolest thing for a kid because, you know, like how cool is it that in your bulletin this morning, you got a palm branch? Obviously, I'm the only one excited. And so I just remember like fiddling with it the whole time the pastor's preaching, and I have a palm branch. I'm like, yeah, I got a palm branch. And I would bring it home. I would put it in my Bible as a bookmark and just sort of sit there. And so today we are talking about Palm Sunday. Somebody say Palm Sunday. And so what I think is, as we look at it, I've never preached on this ever in my entire life. So I did a lot of studying. And I thought as I looked through the Gospels, Matthew had the best story. And so we're going to look at it. In case you don't know, there was a Passion of the Christ, a movie that came out several years ago, sort of displaying the last week of Easter. And so we're going to show you a clip this morning from there, and then we're going to dive into the Word of God. So check out this video. Gospels. There are four Gospels, four books of the Bible: Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all writing from different perspectives, but all actually write this story. Not all the Gospels have every story in it, but this is so significant that each person writes of the Palm Sunday, if you would, the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Now, Matthew is different than everyone else in that he writes to people that are Jewish. And so he is trying to convince his brothers and his sisters coming unto the Lord and telling them that this is the Messiah that you have been waiting for. This is Jesus who we are waiting to adorn as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so Matthew actually will take a lot of times, his gospel has full parts where he's taking scriptures out of the Old Testament. So he'll take something out of the Old Testament to prove that this is who Jesus is. This is what you've been waiting for, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And so in Matthew chapter 21, in verse 1, it says this. Now, when they drew near to Jerusalem, and they came to Bethpage. Now, this is Jesus, there's a company of disciples. And it says, and they came to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus sent two disciples, saying unto them, go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. You untie them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord needs them. Now, that's interesting because there's no point in my life where I'm like, the Tara needs a car. Go and ask this person if they can have a car, and they'll give it to you. But Jesus is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And so he just simply says, go into the next village, find a colt and a donkey, tell them that the Lord needs it, and they're going to give it to you. They're just going to hand that right over to you, and he will send them at once. And so verse 4, this is why that happened. It said in verse 4, this takes place to fulfill. Now, again, Matthew is always trying to prove that this is Jesus. This is the Messiah. This is the one that was spoken of by the prophet saying, and here look at verse 5. Notice the quotes. So the quotes means he's pulling it from the Old Testament. It says, say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your kingdom is coming to you. Your king is coming to you humble and mounted on a what? On a donkey and on a colt and the foal of a beast of the burden. And so 600 years before Palm Sunday, Zechariah, who is one of the prophets of the Old Testament, writes prophetically, and that prophecy is this, is that you are foretelling something that has yet to happen. So Zechariah, 600 years, I always find these stories so incredible, that our Savior not only came and that he rose again, but that he fulfills prophecy of things that were spoken hundreds of years before it ever happened or took place. It's an incredible, mind-blowing thing to think of. And so 600 years, Zechariah speaks that your king will come. Not only will he come, he will come how? Humble and mounted on a donkey. Look at Zechariah 9:9. It's going to be on the screen just to prove that this is really in the Bible. It says this, Zechariah 9:9. He says this, Zechariah does. He says, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem, behold, your king is coming to you righteous and having what? Salvation. So again, a prophetic telling of Jesus that he was coming with salvation, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. And so we see that the scripture was coming to pass on this triumphal entry on Palm Sunday, that the idea was that Jesus was fulfilling the scripture that Zechariah 9:9 had talked about. Keep on reading in verse 6 of Matthew chapter 21. It says this, so the disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. And of course, they're always following the commands of the Lord. And so it says, as he directed them. And in verse 7, it says, they brought the donkey and the colt, and they put on them their cloaks. Now, that's the disciples that were putting their cloaks on top of the donkey and on top of the colt, as you've seen in the picture and in the video. And it says this in verse 8, most of the crowd, and I stopped there for a moment, because sometimes, even when you're at your best, even when you are Jesus, some of the crowd will not listen to what you have to say about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Sometimes there will be a people in the room or in your influences that don't always listen to what you say, because even Jesus himself, it only says most of the crowd. But look what they do. Let's be most of the crowd this morning. In verse 8, it says, most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And so today I want to stop right there and sort of hone in. Now, there are a lot of crowds at the Easter service or at the Easter week. We see crowds that say, release Barabbas, the known criminal, and give us Jesus to crucify. We see those kinds of crowds. But today I want to talk about the crowd that is around Jesus for Palm Sunday. Now, notice in verse 8, go back there for a moment. It says this, most of the crowd spread their cloaks. Somebody say, spread their cloaks. Now, we as people, we don't wear cloaks today. We might wear a jacket, but there were cloaks that people wore as their outer garment. And I don't have an outer garment. I have what is considered an inner garment, but it'll work for today's sermon. And so today we were going to look at what was the outer garments of people. Now, what did they do? They spread their cloaks. Notice it says that in verse 8. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks. Now, here's what it means. Now, you've probably seen this on a Disney movie or something like that, or some kind of old fairy tale. But anytime that we are to spread our cloaks, what we are doing is we are subjecting ourselves to whoever is going to pass by. So in the case of, you know, Disney or Snow White, they would always subject themselves to the normal Prince Charming. But in this case, in the reading of the scripture, they would subject themselves to who was coming over them. And so you notice in the scriptures that they would be subjecting themselves to whom? To Jesus. And so as they were laying down their cloaks, they were saying that this is Christ. This is the King. Now they were waiting for an earthly king. They were waiting for someone to take over all their problems and all their situation. But Jesus was not just an earthly king. He is an earthly king. He was the king, the spiritual king. And so they were subjecting themselves to the lordship of Jesus Christ. Now, here's the thing. We live in a world that loves Jesus as Savior. A lot of people, younger people, not so much, but a lot of us older people in the room, a lot of us would say, absolutely, I want Jesus to save me from my sins. It's hell insurance, right? You want to get out of hell free. That's a good thing. I don't want to spend my eternity in hell. I want Jesus to save me of my sins. But what happens is that a lot of people don't want Jesus to be their Lord, because there's a difference. Whenever you ask Jesus to be your Savior, you're asking him to save you of your sins. But when you're asking him to be Lord, that means that you are subjecting, everybody say subjecting yourself, to his lordship. You are asking the Lord to be number one in your life. And we live in a world that says, well, we want Jesus as Savior, but we don't really want Jesus as Lord. See, that's that God would control your actions. God would begin to control what it is that you say. If Jesus is the Lord of your life, you are subjecting what you say to his lordship. The way that you respond, Jesus will be number one of your responses. Jesus will begin to be number one on what it is that you're saying, the actions that you take. Jesus will be number one. You are subjecting yourself to the way that you think. You are subjecting yourself to the way that you respond. You are subjecting yourself to what you listen to and what you watch on TV or on the internet. You are subjecting yourself, and you are saying, see, it's easy to say Hosanna. It's easy to shout aloud. It's easy to act a certain way on Sunday, but you have to go and do the thing that you said on Monday. And that's why people are having a hard time with Christians, because you come into the house of God, which is good. Keep on coming to the house of God. But then we don't act like Jesus' followers the rest of the week. And we have to subject ourselves and say, okay, God, you get to be in charge of my life. Not just on the Sundays, but every single day of the week. I am subjecting myself. So I cannot gossip like I want to. I cannot be controlled by anger like I want to. I cannot allow those things to be a part of my life, because I have to throw my cloak down. I have to subject myself to the Savior and say, God, I want to subject myself and spread my cloaks down so that you might go over my life, so that I might surrender to your lordship. Now, not only in verse 7 did they spread their cloaks and subject themselves, it says this as they, it says also, look at verse 8, it says, most of the crowds spread their cloak on the road, and others cut branches. Now, this is a palm branch. We have these down the bayou. You have them all over the place, right? You might have them in your house. You've most typically seen a palm branch. There's several kinds all over down the bayou in the south, but they had palm branches and branches. Now, it's interesting because a palm branch, which obviously is reflective of Palm Sunday, has meaning in the Bible. You see palm branches all the time. You see palm branches had a symbol of victory. So this somehow, I don't know, because we don't have, you know, branches that mean things, but this has a symbol of victory. It has a symbol of triumph. It has a symbol of peace and eternal life. And this has come since beginning of time. Even in the Middle East, they would always have this meaning. And so it was a symbol for the Christian believer as victory. And so can you imagine, they are subjecting themselves to Jesus. They're acting out indeed. They're saying, God, you control my life, but not only control my life, I am allowing you to have the victory. And so they're just waving the branches, the palm branches, over the Messiah, over Jesus as he comes, as prophetically said, over a colt, over a donkey. And so here they are, and they're waving victory, and they're waving peace, and they're waving eternal life. And so the idea is that not only do we serve God in our deeds, which is what we just did, but that we also serve God with our voices, that we begin to declare the kingdom of God. That's what they were doing. And so look at verse 9 as we continue. So they're subjecting themselves to his victory, and they're doing a deed, and it's good to love God indeed, to give him the glory indeed. But then in verse 9, it says this, and the crowds that went before him, that followed him, were shouting what? Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And so, again, we are to serve God, or to honor God with our deeds. We're to subject ourselves to the King and say, God, have your way in the way that I act or the way that I think. But also, we are to declare. Somebody say declare. Now, this is big. This is a big thing, because we are to declare God's kingdom. That's what they're doing. Do you know what the word Hosanna means? We have it on the slide. Hosanna actually means save now. So when they are declaring with their mouth, somebody say with your mouth, with your mouth. So you declare, you are speaking things that are not as though they were. Now, this is a big, remember Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit, Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning it says that they had no light. So what did they do? Let there be light. They spoke it, they declared it, and then what was there? There was light. Now, that means that there is a very real power in what we do, but there's also a very real power in what we say. So they are saying with their mouth, they are declaring out into the audience, save now. Now, of course, they want to be saved now. I mean, everybody wants to be saved now. God, take us out of this problem. Take us out of this situation. They are lifting up the name. Somebody say Hosanna. So Hosanna, look at 9. And the crowds went before him, and they are declaring with their mouth, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna. Hosanna in the highest. Now remember in Matthew's gospel, Matthew, I think 1 and 2, it says this. It says, as Jesus even came as a baby, what did the angels say? Hosanna to God in the highest. Glory to God on earth, and peace and goodwill unto men. What are they doing? They are declaring the kingdom. They are declaring the goodness of God. And not only in Matthew does this happen, Revelation 7 and verse 9. I want you to look at the screen. This is the end. So we know that in Genesis, they take fig trees, but we see palm branches. And then look at Revelation 7, 9. In Matthew, we see palm branches, which is a victory. We are declaring with our mouth and singing out Hosanna. But this is one of my favorite verses of the Bible. Revelation 7 and verse 9, it says this. John is writing from the island of Patmos, and he writes this. After this, I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes, and all people, and all languages. Now, can you imagine, if you can just stop and think for a moment, that scene around the throne room of God. It says, from every number, from every nation, from all tribes, and all people, and all languages, standing before the throne room and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes. Now, you know that none of us deserve white robes, so that's because of Jesus. And it says, with what in their hand? With palm branches. Now, what does palm branches mean? With victory. So they are declaring again in Revelations, this is the end of the story, which is the beginning of all of eternity, everything that we are. And so that, as you can see, it just overwhelming the room, all people, all nations, all numbers, all tribes. And what are they doing? Again, they are taking out their palm branches in their hand, and they are crying with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God. So again, what are they saying? Hosanna, save us now. Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And all the angels were standing. Now notice, it's just not humans. Whenever you pass away, you stay human. You don't become an angel. You don't grow wings. Hallelujah. That's a misconception. I don't know where we got that from, but it's absolutely wrong. And so whenever God created angels, he created humans. We're going to stay that way. And so anyway, the angels too are declaring. Look at it. It says, and all the angels were standing around the throne room and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they too fell on their faces before the throne, and they worshiped God, saying amen, which means let it be so. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever and ever. Amen. Let it be so. So they are sitting around the throne room declaring the glory of God. Isaiah 6, remember that? Isaiah, he has a call from the Lord. Isaiah 6, and he says this. He says that there were seraphim, and they had wings. With two, they covered their faces. With two, they covered their feet. And with two, they flew. And they fly around the throne room of God, declaring, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. They are saying with their mouth, God, we are giving you the honor. God, we are giving you the praise. God, we are declaring wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God. And so you can look at this, and as they're declaring the same thing, what are they saying? God, we honor you. We have subjected ourselves to you. But God, also we are saying with victory with the palm branch, and then they declare with their mouth. Somebody say, with my mouth. So you declare things with your mouth, whether good or whether evil. You could declare bad things. You could be, well, I don't think nothing's going to change. It's always going to be like this. I think this situation is bad. It's going from bad to worse. You ever hear everybody say that? It's going from bad to worse now. And so what are you declaring? Death over your life. You're declaring not the things of God. Well, my kids are just never going to change. And so you're declaring death and brokenness over your kids. This situation always going to be the same way. And so you begin to declare, I'll never break free from that addiction. I'll never change. And so I'll never, you know, whatever it is. And we begin to declare with our mouths things that don't honor God. And so they are declaring instead rather the kingdom of God. And so here's what you could do, like at the end of Revelations, you could begin to say, God, I am choosing to declare over my family glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever. And maybe you have a rough job situation. So maybe you could declare over your job blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor. You are declaring the kingdom. You are declaring the kingdom of God over your job, over your family, over your situation. Maybe you have a struggle within your marriage. You can declare the glory of God over your husband or over your wife, and you begin to declare that. You don't need to speak. You don't need to raise up in anger. You don't need to have another word. You don't have to have the last word, hallelujah. You don't have to have any words. You could just declare the worth of God and the worth of the kingdom. And so you begin to say over and over again, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving. So you subject yourself to the king and you say, God, my words, my actions need to line up. But then you also say, God, my words need to line up. God, blessed. The Bible says this in Psalm 118, verse 26, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We are pronouncing the kingdom of God. We are declaring the kingdom of God. Now, this is bigger than us. The kingdom is bigger than us. I just want to say that. The kingdom is bigger than your opinion. You can have opinions about anything. Don't care. Have an opinion. Hallelujah. Have an opinion. But the kingdom is bigger than your opinion. The kingdom is bigger than your political view. You can have a political view, but the kingdom trumps any political view that's in the room this morning. It's bigger, and this might hurt a little bit, but this is bigger than our country. Did you notice that? It didn't say in Revelation 7, 9, and then only people from America were sitting around the throne room of God. It didn't say that. It says that every tribe, every nation, and every tongue declaring the worth and the value of God. So this is bigger than your country. This is bigger than the time that we are living in. Because in approximately 100 years, not a one of us will be in this room. There may not even be this room. Why? It doesn't even really matter because the kingdom is bigger. And we are declaring the kingdom. And we're to talk about the kingdom. And we're to lift up the kingdom and declare with our mouth. See, I don't understand. We'll sit and worship and sit there. I don't understand that because I want to declare the worth and the value and thanksgiving and honor and praise and might and power to God forever and ever. We are to declare with our mouths the kingdom because it's a kingdom mindset. And so you're saying, God, let prosperity, that you have the name above every other name. You have a throne that's above every other throne. God, we're giving you the highest praise. God, we're reaching you to the highest heavens, and people are shouting, Hosanna. They are saying with their mouth, Christ is King. And that could be not reflective of the situation that you're in right now. It doesn't have to be. You might be living in a place right now, and you're like, Tara, but you don't understand my life or my situation. I don't have to. See, all you have to do is to begin to subject yourself to the King and say, okay, God, I am going to do it your way. That's hard. That is a hard place because a lot of times God is asking us that there would be more of him and less of us. And that doesn't change the older you get. He just asks more. And so he's asking you to subject yourself and your actions to the King. He's asking you this morning through Palm Sunday that not only would you subject yourself with your actions, but also that you would declare with your mouth, that you would declare the honor and the glory of God. That's why whenever you come in to pray on Tuesday, do that first. Just declare God. Just spend 10, 15, 20 minutes. I don't need a thing. God, I don't need you to do anything in my life. I don't need to ask for another thing. All I have to do is declare your honor and your worth and thanksgiving and honor and power. And you'll be amazed at how God will start answering your prayers because you declared his kingdom first. And you're worried about the kingdom over your problems. And so God is saying to subject yourself both with your actions but also with your words. Now continue reading in Matthew 21 in verse 10. It says this. Now I love this. Because it sort of looks at the end of the story, at this portion of the story. And it says this, and when he entered Jerusalem, that's Jesus, after they had surrendered their actions, after they had surrendered their words, it says this, and he went and he entered Jerusalem, Jesus did, and the whole city was stirred up, saying, who is this? Now that's the end goal. The end goal of our lives is that we would want our city to be stirred up, that we would want the place that we work to be stirred up. We would want our family to be stirred up, not because we have preached Jesus, but because we have acted it out. We have lived it out. And then also we have declared over our job, over our business, over our family, over the people that we are surrounded by, we are declaring the kingdom. And when we do that, it says that in verse 10, the whole city was stirred up. And look what they said. They said, who is this? Notice that you didn't have to go to them. They were asking, who is this? Who is this that y'all are subjecting yourself to? Who is this that you are declaring the kingdom to? And they answered, and the crowd said this, this is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee. Would you bow your head, please, and close your eyes? Imagine your city today. Imagine your job, your school, your influences today. Imagine that today, as you have declared the worth and the value of the Lord, Imagine today what could happen. I always think about that as so many tragedies, specifically this week, happened on the east side of Houma. And as I'm reading news reports and seeing people posting, and a lot of anger, and I get that. There's a lot of things tragic. But I always think I just would want my city to be stirred up. I would want people to come to know Jesus. God, it's enough. It's too much. And all you have to do is subject yourself to the King and declare His worth and His value. And you begin to do that, and the promise of Scripture is that it would be stirred up. Your city would be stirred up, or your family, or that situation that you have been praying for. And so today, I have a question for you. What are you doing with your words? What are you saying with your words? And can you change that? Are you looking at that situation and saying, well, it'll never change? Well, of course it'll never change, because you just spoke that it will never change. But rather speaking a Hosanna, rather speaking a hallelujah and saying, God, I know who you are. God, you are the worth all the praise and the honor and thanksgiving. You begin to declare that. And then my next question is not only what you're saying, but the next question is, what are you doing? See, it's easy to say, but it's harder to do, right? It's easy to say you love Jesus, but then when God asks you to quit doing that, or going into that situation, or looking at that thing, or whatever it is that God is asking you to surrender, it becomes quite challenging. And so today God is just saying unto you, hey, would you declare with your mouth and with your actions, Hosanna, save us. You know, as I've spoken, probably the Lord has spoken to you, and you know some things when you walk out this room that need to change. Maybe in your actions, or maybe in the thing that you're saying. Somebody had a really good point. Take that palm branch. You got one in the bulletin. If you need one, grab it. And just put it in your car. Put it on, by your visor. Or maybe put it as a bookmark in your Bible. And every time you see that palm branch, that you would begin to declare the goodness of God. On your ride into work, rather than whining or complaining or grumbling or anger, rather you would just have that palm branch on your visor, and for the 10, 15 minutes that it takes you to get to work, you just begin to declare the goodness of God over your job, over your family, over your school, young people, whatever it is, that you would just begin to declare that. And you don't have to see a change, because it got worse. Jesus died, so that looked a lot worse. But then there's a victory that happens whenever you begin to declare with your actions, and that palm branch will just be a reminder saying, hey, with your actions, declare Jesus, and with your words, declare Jesus. And today you could choose that branch and say, you know what, God, I just want to be more like you. So we sang the last song that we sing, that Victor sang, was just be, make us more like Jesus. Today, if you would like to do that in your life, if there's a situation, would you just lift your hand right where you are? And we're just going to pray over that. We're going to ask God to help us. You're going to need the power of the Holy Spirit to change that action, or to change those words. So God, you see our hands raised. God, we know that we need your help. God, we have been speaking death. We have been acting death. But today, God, we want to change that. We want to ask for your presence, and God, for your power, Lord God. God, we are asking that not only would we say and declare with our mouth, but with our actions too, God, that we would declare the worth and the value and the kingdom of God here. And God, that you would help us as we walk out those doors, Lord Jesus. God, that we would say with our mouth and we would say with our actions the goodness of God. God, we are speaking Hosanna. We are speaking into a hallelujah into our lives. God, we are saying, God, we declare you as King of Kings. We declare you as Lord of Lords. God, we thank you, God, that you have come to save us and to set us free. And today, Lord God, help us to give a highest praise with our actions, and help us to give the highest praise with our words. And God, that our cities would be stirred up, and our jobs would be stirred up, and our situations would be stirred up. God, because that's what we need. We give you all the praise and all the honor in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen and amen. Give the Lord some praise. We love you guys. Go out of this building and declare the goodness of Jesus, declare his worth and his value. If you need a palm. We got some more for you. Or if you want just a big one, hallelujah, grab one of those too. We can't wait to see you. Tuesday night, sign up for prayer. Come and declare the worth of Jesus over our community. And of course, we'll see you next Sunday, Easter Sunday, right here at Hope Community Church.